The Greek historian Herodotus said in about 430 BC that every Babylonian carried a seal ring. Egyptians, he said, normally wore one on a finger. And most Hebrews carried one on a string around the neck. These signets were usually closely guarded as the seal's imprint served as a personal signature. A signet ring was an ancient means of identification. The seal itself was distinctively etched in stone or metal or ivory and would be hung around a person's neck on a cord or worn as a ring on a hand. The signet would be pressed into soft clay to confirm an agreement or a transaction. But I want us this evening to take a look at the person, the purpose, and the power of a signet or a signet ring, and then make some application for us today. First of all, we want to note the person of the signet. The person of the signet was usually the owner of it. In Genesis chapter 38, we find there a story about Judah. Judah married a Canaanite woman, and by that woman he had three sons. The first son died after marrying Tamar. Tamar then married her brother-in-law by biblical law, Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 5 through 10. But then he died also. And Tamar expected then to marry the third brother when he was old enough, but Judah did not allow that to happen. As the story continues to unfold, Tamar eventually tricked Judah by using some unusual clothing and an agreement about a goat to trick Judah into a very difficult situation. As a pledge then, before sending this agreed upon goat, Tamar asked Judah to receive a seal, a cord, and a staff, to which Judah gave her his seal, a signet ring, a cord, and a staff, which he carried in his hand. She tricked Judah into having sexual relations with her, and by this agreement then, she consented and resulted in her becoming pregnant. When Judah then was informed later on that Tamar was pregnant, he declared that she should be burned. Genesis chapter 38. We'll read verses 25 and 26. Genesis chapter 38, verse 25. It was while she was being brought out that she sent to her father-in-law, saying, I am with child by the man to whom these things belong. And she said, please examine and see whose signet ring and cords and staff are these. Judah recognized them and said, she is more righteous than I, inasmuch as I did not give her to my son Shelah, and he did not have relations with her again. The person of the signet was usually the owner of the signet. And because this particular signet belonged to Judah, it was used to convict him because there was no denying its owner. The original owner of the signets were most often clearly identified on or by the signet itself. Being identified by the signet, the owner had to be very careful about his or her use of such a signet ring. But the person of the signet was the owner of it. The person of the signet was also sealed by it. In Daniel chapter 6, we have another occasion in which a signet ring is mentioned. It's during the reign of Darius that Daniel was arrested for refusing to pray to the king. When he was sentenced to death by the lion's den, the den was sealed with such a ring. Daniel chapter 6 and verse number 17. A stone was brought and laid over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signet rings of his nobles, so that nothing would be changed in regard to Daniel. Now Daniel chapter 6, as you know, goes on to tell us how that God protected Daniel by shutting the lions' mouths. Here we see, however, in Daniel chapter 6, that the person of the signet was sealed by it. When the lion's den was sealed by that rock and then by the signet ring of King Darius, the act was said, done, and final. Even the owner of the signet could not readily change his or her sealed decision, and so Daniel had to stay in the lion's den for at least the night. But God would protect him. This person of the signet also ruled with the signet. We see this in Genesis chapter 41, verses 38 to 45. We find that story about Joseph. When Joseph gave the interpretation of Pharaoh's dreams, Pharaoh made a motion to promote Joseph. We read Genesis chapter 41, beginning in verse 38. Then Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find a man like this in whom is a divine spirit?" So Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has informed you of all this, there is no one so discerning and wise as you are. You shall be over my house, and according to your command, all my people shall do homage. Only in the throne will I be greater than you." Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I have set you over all the land of Egypt." Then Pharaoh took off his signet ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand and clothed him in garments of fine linen and put the gold necklace around his neck and had him ride in the second chariot. And they proclaimed before him, "Bow the knee," and he set him over all the land of Egypt. Moreover, Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Though I am Pharaoh, yet without your permission, no one shall raise his foot or hand in all the land of Egypt." We see by this story that Joseph ruled because he was given the signet ring of Pharaoh. Whoever it was that possessed the signet or the signet ring had power and great importance. The signet itself gave their decision the final rule concerning a matter. One other time that we have a story related to us concerning a signet ring is that in the book of Esther. In Esther chapter 3, we have one named Haman who uses a signet ring. And then again in Esther chapter 8, we have one named Mordecai who uses a signet ring. There the story relates to us that the person of the signet was characterized by it. You remember Haman. He went to King Ahasuerus about the Jews who were scattered and dispersed among the peoples within the kingdom or within the provinces of the kingdom of King Ahasuerus. Esther chapter 3 and verse 8. And because Haman went there, Haman sought to a decree to get the king to seal a decree to destroy the Jews. Esther chapter 3, we'll read verses 10 and 11. Then the king took his signet ring from his hand and gave it to Haman, the son of Amminadath, the Agag, the enemy of the Jews. The king said to Haman, "The silver is yours, and the people also, to do with them as you please." Haman made that great attempt to destroy the Jews, sealing it with the king's signet ring. But Haman's evil ways would be given away. And because they were given away, Haman was disgraced and then executed. King Ahasuerus gave the house to Haman, who was to Mordecai, the queen of Esther, chapter 8, verse 1. Then the king took his signet ring, whom he had taken away from Haman, and gave it to Mordecai. And Esther and Mordecai set out together to use the signet ring in the house of Haman, Esther chapter 8, verse 2, to reverse the decree. And the king did give his authorization for the writing of a new decree, which we read about in Esther chapter 8 and verse number 8. Esther 8, verse 8, "Now you write to the Jews as you see fit in the king's name, and seal it with the king's signet ring. For a decree which is written in the name of the king and sealed with the king's signet ring may not be revoked." We see here that one's use of a signet ring gave evidence of who they were as to their true identity. A signet also characterized the person using it. In the case of Haman, it was used for evil. In the case of Mordecai and Esther, it was used for good. But the person of the signet ring was important. Also, the purpose of the signet ring. The purpose of the signet ring was to, in the case of Genesis chapter 38, to identify. Genesis chapter 38, we read again verses 25 and 26 to illustrate this point. "It was while she was being brought out that she sent to her father-in-law, saying, 'I am with child by the man to whom these things belong.' And she said, 'Please examine and see whose signet ring and cords and staff are these.'" Verse 26, "Judah recognized them." The signet ring was used to identify. Tamar put forth this signet ring and the cord and the staff as well because they were undeniable proof of who they belonged to. This signet identified the original owner as being Judah. It was typical in those days for a king or a governor or a lord who had great power and great authority to have a ring for the purpose of sealing agreements. The signet identified the original owner and his authority to be that of Judah. But the purpose of a signet ring may also be used just for the sake of sealing, such as Daniel chapter 6. In making that decision, it's not always a final decision in ancient times. It was something that could be changed if there was enough to have a cause or a grounds for changing such a decision. But once one who had authority, once one who had a signet ring sealed a decision, that decision was said, done, and final. It had to be carried out. No one could change the decision. So when King Darius and his noblemen sealed the lion's den with that stone and then with their signet rings, Daniel chapter 6 and verse 7, there was no changing the fate of Daniel by human means. After the said decision was carried out, however, the ruling could be reevaluated as it would be in the case of Daniel. But the purpose of a said signet ring could be for sealing something, to make it beyond change. The purpose of a signet ring might also be to show value. In Genesis chapter 41, as stated just a few moments ago, it was typical that the owner of the signet would be a king or a governor or a lord. And if that were to be the case, then they could pass the signet ring on to another, by which they would be passing authority or power on to them. Pharaoh passed his ring on to Joseph. And it was by that signet ring that Joseph received power, a greater value in the eyes of the Egyptians. That value, which was given to him by the signet ring, allowed him to make decisions concerning the storing of the harvest from the plentiful years and the reaping of it, so that there would be food enough and to spare when it came the 7 years of famine. Joseph received great power from Pharaoh because of his possession of a simple ring. But the purpose of a signet might also be simply to carry out one's plans. Esther chapter 3, of those who came into possession of the signet, their plans could and would be carried out, whether they be good plans or whether they be, in the case of Esther 3 and Haman, evil plans. Haman had that evil plan to destroy the Jews. Mordecai, however, used the same ring to carry out his plans, but his plans were for good, Esther chapter 8. His plans were to allow the Jews to protect themselves. And it was only by the sealing of the ring, the sealing of the document written by him, that the king's decree went out among the people. The purpose then of a signet ring was very valuable. It was very important. It carried a lot of weight. And so it was important that whoever the owner or possessor of the signet ring was, that they use it wisely. We see then that the person of the signet ring was important because of who it made them to be, who they were characterized as, what they could do with it. We see also that the purpose of the signet was important because of what it allowed them to accomplish or to bring to fruition, and what it also did for the lives of others to seal their fate, whether to live or to die. Thus we see by both of those instances the power of the signet. The signet itself could easily identify one as being guilty or innocent. Again, Genesis chapter 38, the discussion of Judah and Tamar. The original owner of the signet ring was Judah. But Judah gave that ring or that signet to Tamar, Genesis chapter 38, verse 18. Judah used the signet to get Tamar to sleep with him. So the power of the ring was seen in its influence on Tamar. But then Tamar used the same ring to convict Judah, Genesis chapter 38, verse 25. When Judah examined the items that were presented to him, he knew who they belonged to, and he also knew that they found him to be guilty. Tamar was guilty as well, however. Genesis chapter 38, verse 14, she used some unusual clothing to trick him into believing that she was a prostitute, specifically a temple prostitute. Verse 25 and verse 26, she turned in the signet ring, identifying Judah as the one who had caused her to become pregnant. But she too was guilty of taking part in that sexual relation. Verse 26, then, Judah decided he would no longer have relations with her ever again. So the signet could easily identify both parties as being guilty. The signet was also very powerful because the signet was the final sealing authority. In Daniel chapter 6, King Darius was the ruling authority. He placed satraps and governors over his kingdom, Daniel chapter 6, verse 1, for the purpose, Daniel 6 and verse 2, so that he would not suffer any loss in his kingdom. The satraps and the governors then used their power to trick King Darius into making a decree that would forbid anyone from praying to anyone other than the king. Daniel 6, verses 4 through 8. The king did sign the decree, Daniel 6 and verse 9, making it final. Therefore, when Daniel broke the decree, Daniel 6 and verse 11, King Darius had no decision. He had no choice in the matter but to carry out that which was decreed and sealed by his own signet. He cast Daniel into the lion's den, Daniel 6 and verse 4, or verse 14. Then he sealed it with his ring and with the rings of his noblemen, Daniel 6 and verse 17. Thus, there was no way that humans could intervene in the livelihood of Daniel. It was left only to his God to protect him. The signet was also very powerful in the case of Genesis chapter 41 and the story of Pharaoh and Joseph, because the signet showed valuable judgments. Pharaoh was the original signet owner, but he gave that signet to Joseph. Genesis chapter 41 verse 42. Pharaoh, by passing on that ring, passed on authority to Joseph to make decisions as he had set him over all the land of Egypt. Genesis 41, verses 39 to 41. And thus, Joseph was able to use the power of the signet to make a ruling concerning what should be done during the 7 years of plenty and during the 7 years of famine. It was only by the possession of the signet ring that Joseph was viewed in the eyes of all of Egypt as one having a power and authority to make such a decision and to guide the people in carrying it out. Joseph's decisions were final. They were just as if they had been made by Pharaoh himself. That's the power of the signet. The power of the signet was also seen in Esther chapter 3 and Esther chapter 8 as the signet carried out both good and evil plans. The original authority was King Ahasuerus. Ahasuerus first gave the ring to Haman, and Haman used it for evil plans to conspire against the Jews. But when his evil plans were revealed, Ahasuerus took the ring from Haman. Later on, in Esther chapter 8, as it opens, Esther is put in place of the house of Haman, or put in power of the house of Haman. And Esther then tells the king, Ahasuerus, about Mordecai and her relation to him. And they are given the signet ring, Esther chapter 8, verse 2. In possession of the signet ring then, Esther and Mordecai worked together in order to conspire with the Jews to allow them to protect themselves, Esther chapter 8, verses 10 through 13. Thus they are given power by the king, Ahasuerus, to write a letter of such a degree and to seal it with his ring. Thus we see that Haman almost destroyed the Jews by the power of the signet ring, while Mordecai saved all of the Jews by the power of the same signet ring. Signet ring, the person, the purpose, and the power were great. A signet could be used for good or for evil. It was really up to the owner or possessor's decisions. It was used to show the character and the rule and authority and or the guilt or innocence of its owner or possessor. What then should we make as application concerning such signet rings? Well, it might do us well to look at two more passages before we close. One is in Jeremiah chapter 22. Jeremiah chapter 22, beginning in verse 24, it reads, "As I live, declares the Lord, even though Coni, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, were a signet ring on my right hand, yet I would pull you off, and I will give you over into the hand of those who are seeking your life. Yes, into the hand of those who you dread, even into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hand of the Chaldeans. I will hurl you and your mother who bore you into a country where you were not born, and there you will die. But as for the land to which they desire to return, they will not return to you or to it. Is this man Coni a despised, shattered jar? Or is he an undesirable vessel? Why have he and his descendants been hurled out and cast into the land they had not known? O land, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, write this man down as childless, a man who will not prosper in his days, for no man of his descendants will prosper sitting on the throne of David or ruling again in Judah. Because of the actions and decisions of Coni, God used him to show what would result of those who are disobedient. God would remove Coni as a ring, as a signet ring from his hand, and cast him away. One other passage, Haggai chapter 2. Haggai chapter 2, beginning in verse 20, we find a different story concerning one named Zerubbabel. Haggai chapter 2, verse 20, then the word of the Lord came a second time to Haggai on the 24th day of the month, saying, speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judea, saying, I am going to shake the heavens and the earth. I will overthrow the thrones of the kingdom and destroy the powers of the kingdoms of the nations. And I will overthrow the chariots and their riders, and the horses and their riders will go down, every one by the sword of another. On that day, declares the Lord of hosts, I will take you, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, my servant, declares the Lord, and I will make you like a signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord of hosts. Here we find that God chose Zerubbabel because of his actions and what he was willing to do for God. Thus, God would use him to show what will happen to a good signet ring. He would place him on his hand to wear him as the personal owner of Zerubbabel, allowing Zerubbabel to carry out his purpose and to fulfill his will. Thus, Zerubbabel would be able to rule with great power. Are you God's signet ring? Are you God's signet ring? Do you belong to God? Faith comes by hearing the word of God, Romans 10, verse 17. Faith is belief in God, Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Belief in His Son, John 8, verse 24. Belief in the Word, which is the Word of God, Mark chapter 1 and verse 15. Belief in the promises which God has made, Hebrews 11 and verse 13. It's in that Word that Jesus said in Mark 16 and verse 16, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned, as worded in the English Standard Version. You see, mankind's belief in the things revealed to him through God's Word leads him to be baptized. But without belief in God and His Word, man would not fulfill the conditions to receive salvation. For it is the will of God that requires repentance for salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10. The sorrow that is according to the will of God produces repentance without regret, leading to salvation. The Word of God has revealed that repentance must take place to lead to salvation. The will of God also reveals that confession is required. Romans chapter 10 and verse 10, "For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. But with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation." God requires us to confess in order to receive salvation. God also requires, as His will tells us in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, that one be baptized. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Belief that stops before baptism will not save. For belief that stops at confession or repentance will not save. But belief that leads one to repentance leads on to salvation. For one who repents would be willing to confess, which confession leads to salvation. And one who confesses Jesus to be the Son of God would also be willing to be baptized in order to be saved. To draw it all together in one concise sentence, we might say that only those who believe, Romans 10 and verse 9, who repent, 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10, and confess, Romans 10 and verse 10, and are baptized, Mark 16 and verse 16, will be saved. God has told us what is required of us in order to receive the free gift of eternal life. In Galatians 3, verses 26 and 27, God told us who belongs to Him. He said, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." Those who have been baptized into Christ have clothed themselves with Christ, and they are thereby, through faith in Christ, sons of God. So in answering that question, are you God's signet ring? You might also ask, do you belong to God? If you belong to God, then you are God's signet ring. You are owned by God. You are identified by the owner. And you live your life with the purpose to fulfill that of who owns you, God. And you live that life of purpose to carry out God's will, because the power He gives to you. If you are one who belongs to God, then the question becomes, are you allowing yourself to be used for God's purpose? Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 speaks of those who are made alive in Christ Jesus, those who are Christians. Ephesians 2 and verse 10, it says of Christians, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." God has had it in His plans from long ago for those who would come and follow after Him to perform good works and to walk in them, giving us purpose. God's purpose for everyone, and the purpose specifically for Christians, is made evident in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20 when He said, "You have been bought with a price." Every Christian has been bought with a price. Therefore, your purpose is to glorify God in your body. Everything you say, everything you do is important because you are living for a purpose. to glorify God. If you do belong to God and you are allowing yourself to be used for God's purpose, then the question becomes, are you living by the power of God? 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19 informs Christians that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in us, whom we have from God. The Holy Spirit empowers us to live godly. Being God's signet ring, we are to live by the power of the owner and possessor. The power which God has given to us in the Holy Spirit. Are you God's signet? If you belong to God, you are His signet. Then the matter to take up is how you're being used for Him. Are you being used for good? Or are you living for yourself and carrying out the will of Satan? God has made His decision concerning each signet ring of His. Those who behave and follow after the ways of Coni, He says He will pull off and cast away. Those who are signet rings of His, who behave and act after the ways of Zerubbabel, He says He will take and put on. The person of the signet is God. The purpose of the signet is for you to live for Him. The power of the signet is the Holy Spirit, by which you are empowered to live godly. You have the choice, then, to live after the ways of Coni, to live in ways of how Haman misused your body. Or you have the choice to do as those who use the ring properly, to carry out God's will and to be obedient. Which will it be in your case? The signet ring of God. You're a stamp upon this world to show them to the Father. But it's the life you live that determines whether your plans are evil or whether your plans are good. If your plans are not what they ought to be, and you need to make corrections in your life tonight, God wants you to come in that repentance, confessing Christ and belief in Him, repenting of sin in order that you might be restored to the proper status of what a signet ring is designed to be. Tonight, the Lord is inviting you, and He wants you to come, but the choice is up to you and how you use it as we stand and as we sing.